In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you. Great to be with all of you. So, as is our custom, we'd like to begin our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God, Mary is the Mother of the Church, and Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. We also, when we pray the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's turn to Mary and beg Mary to pray for us, and to pray with us, and to help us to really get to know her Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray the prayer that she loves most, and that's the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's turn to our spiritual guide or spiritual director. What a privilege to have the Holy Spirit as our spiritual guide, as our spiritual director. The Holy Spirit has many titles. The Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our soul from the sequence. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler. He's also known as our counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. Our interior master. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to accompany us and to illuminate our minds with light to get to know Christ better. And then to beg Him to set our hearts on fire with love for God and for the salvation of souls. So let's pray the classical prayer of the Holy Spirit, and that prayer is, of course, this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, and instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, my friends, this is our Perseverant Family Conversation, and great to be with you. You can invite others to join us. And we always start off by praying, because he who prays together stays together. In the words of Father Patrick Peyton, also a world at prayer is a world at peace. So now to give you encouragement, I promise to pray for you today in a special way in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's right. Of all the prayers that exist, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which we as priests have been ordained to celebrate as the Opus Dei, the greatest work of God, I'd like to place all of you on the altar. All of you on the altar for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I'd like to offer these specific intentions. These specific intentions. First, that all of us, starting today, would make a concerted effort to be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, our sanctification depends in large part upon being open to the inner workings of the gift of gifts, the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we might even pray this prayer that I coined years ago. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come through the heart of Mary. So that'll be my first intention, that this will be a day in which we're open to the gentle but insistent inspirations of the sweet guest of our soul, and he is the Holy Spirit. My next intention will be, I'd like to pray for you and your family and your children, that you would strive to be the best teachers of your children, because it's your responsibility to teach your children in the way of faith. And that's one of the reasons why we have our Perseverant Family Conversation. Our conversation is a daily, you might say, class of formation. It's a daily class of formation where we're getting to know Christ better, getting to know the Bible better, getting to know our Catholic faith better, getting to know our catechism better. This is a wonderful conversation, and it's a class of formation. Class of formation. Finally, I'd like to pray, as is my custom, I'd like to pray for the conversion of sinners. The conversion of sinners. That would be our own conversion, because we're always a work in progress. Second, we've got family members that possibly are not walking in the way of the Lord. But especially I'd like to pray for those sinners, deathbed sinners, that will be dying during the course of the day. most especially for those who are not living in God's grace, that they will be saved. I'd like to ask one more intention. Most of you know that almost constantly I'm giving a course of spiritual exercises. And I'm usually going on mission now for the past 10 years. So I've already started the spiritual exercises in the Church of St. Joseph in Pomona. In English, and I do that starting with the Mass at 5 o'clock, 6:15 the talk, and then sharing groups up until about 8. But also I'm going to be starting a new course of spiritual exercises in Spanish. That will be today. In the Church of Our Lady of the Rosary in the city of Paramount, which I'll start with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at 6 o'clock. Then I'll give a talk in the parish hall at 7:15. And then there will be dividing into groups, because there will be group sharing during the course of these spiritual exercises that has a duration of 10 weeks. So I invite you all to pray for the blessing and success of this new spiritual exercise program, which will take us all the way into December, getting close to Christmas, given that it's a 10-week program. All right, so today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to take the gospel today and take one idea from the gospel and develop it. Gospel today, taken from the gospel of St. Luke, chapter 9, is Herod the Tetrarch, this very evil man, who put St. John the Baptist to death in the context of his birthday party. Herod's living with the wife of his brother. The girl does a dance, and Herod makes this extravagant promise saying that he'll give to the girl whatever she wants, even half of his kingdom. She goes to the mother, and the mother, who was envious and hated John the Baptist for denouncing her union with Herod, says, "Ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Herod, regretting having made this extravagant promise but didn't want to go back on his word, sent the executioners in the prison and beheaded John the Baptist, thereby bringing the head of the Baptist on a platter into the banquet hall. Now what has happened is Jesus is becoming more and more well known because of his preaching, his teaching, his miracles. And Herod wants to see Christ, not for good purposes, he's just curious. He's curious, he wants to see Christ. Possibly that Christ will do a miracle in front of him. So I'd like to glean from that idea, wanting to see Christ, we should have a great desire, my friends, to get to know and to see Jesus Christ. That'll be the basic thrust of our conversation today. How can we get to know and to love and to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When we do the spiritual exercises, of St. Ignatius, one of the primary purposes of doing the spiritual exercises, according to St. Ignatius and the saints, is the person of Christ. We beg for intimate knowledge of Christ that we can love Him more ardently and we can follow Him more closely. That's the fruit of the exercises related to Christ Himself. So, what I'd like to do with you is suggest a couple of things on how we can get to know Christ, and then I'd like to talk about some of the names that we have of Christ, and see if we can go deeper into understanding the names of Christ and utilize this as a platform by which we can dive into the infinite treasures of who Christ is. Now, of course, one of the primary sources of getting to know Christ is the Bible, the Word of God. And that's one of the primary purposes of our conversation every morning. Getting to know Christ by the Bible, but most especially through what I was commenting a minute ago, the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 9 and Herod's curiosity to see Christ. We don't want to imitate Herod and his curiosity, but we want to see Christ, know Christ, and love Christ. Is when we do a careful reading, meditation, contemplation, conversation with Christ through the reading of the Bible every day. In other words, our holy hours should be composed of biblical sources, most specifically the gospel itself. At the end of this month, we're going to be celebrating the feast day of Saint Jerome, September 30th. It was Saint Jerome that translated the Bible from the Greek and Aramaic into the Latin, and from the Latin into our own language. And St. Jerome will go on to say that ignorance of sacred scripture is ignorance of God Himself. How can we really get to love Christ if we don't know who He is? Also, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which we refer to very frequently, encouraging all of us to get to read and know the Catechism of the Catholic Church, has highlighted the fact that the very heart of the Bible itself, there's 73 books in the Bible, 46 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament in the Catholic Bible. The very heart of the Bible are the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Yesterday we celebrated the feast of St. Matthew. Thanks be to God that we have the first Gospel attributed to St. Matthew. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So to get to know Christ, we want to delve into the infinite treasures, the reservoir of riches that are present in the gospel itself. Next point is this. In the gospel, we encounter the apostles. And we see that their relationship with Christ was kind of spotty, sporadic, inconstant, where they knew him and then they didn't seem to understand him. Then we arrive at the Passion of Christ and they actually fail him. They run away from the cross. So what I said yesterday in concluding my talk on St. Matthew, there was a culminating moment in the life of the apostles and the life of the primitive church that resulted in a real radical transformation. And it was this. At the end of the life of Christ, he's there on the mountain, about to ascend to heaven. And he gives the apostles, his disciples, his last message. And he says, go out to all the world. Go out to all the world and teach them all that I taught you. And then to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus goes on to say, Behold them with you always, even until the end of the world. Behold them with you always, even till the end of the world. Then he ascends on high. Now Jesus told the apostles to go out to the whole world and to preach and teach about Christ. There's a very interesting story or scene in the movie that was made by Father Patrick Peyton. Probably know the Father Patrick Peyton. He was instrumental in going to Hollywood and getting Hollywood actors to make the movie of the Most Holy Rosary. Back then it would be the Joyful, the Sorrowful, and the Glorious Mysteries. The Luminous Mysteries only came about 20 years ago with John Paul II. But anyway, the ascension of Jesus, which leads us to the next mystery, which is Pentecost. Jesus says, go out and basically teach the whole world. One of the apostles, this is extra biblical, but very pertinent to understanding how they were able to preach the word of God to the whole world. One of them says, Lord, how are we going to preach and teach the whole world if we don't know anything? I don't remember which apostle that was. But that always impressed me. The humility of this apostle saying, Lord, how are we going to convert the world? We don't know anything. And Jesus didn't deny that. But basically Jesus wanted them to go before they went out to preach to the whole world. They first had to have an experience with the Holy Spirit and Mary. So what did they do? They went to the upper room. This upper room, we also call it the cenacle. The apostles went to the cenacle with some other people, among which was Mary, the Mother of God. While there, they prayed, fasted for 9 days and nine nights. Then at the end of this 9 day of the first church novena, there's a powerful wind, experienced what was almost like an earthquake, and tongues of fire descended upon their heads. And then they began to speak different languages. That was Pentecost, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the apostles. Then from that moment on, the apostles were no longer the same. They were courageous. They were bold. They were intelligent. They were communicative. They really had fallen in love with Christ. And they wanted to bring knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the whole world. They were catapulted to the four corners of the earth, the apostles. And every one of them, every one of the apostles except, with the exception of St. John the Evangelist, they all ended their life. They all ended their life by receiving the crown of martyrdom. That is to say that they shed their blood for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, imitating Him. Of course, Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and He is the martyr of martyrs. So, there we have the means by which these apostles were able to preach the Word of God by this downpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then we read through the Acts of the Apostles and we see the apostles just totally different from the way they were in the Gospels. So what I'm saying, for us to really get to know Christ, we have to also read the Gospels, but also we should all try to have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. One of the best examples would be in the person of Simon Peter. In the person of Simon Peter, we see Peter, after the Last Supper, Jesus says that the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will be scattered and you'll all leave me alone. Peter pipes up and says, "Not me." And the Lord says, "Before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." And it happened that Peter denied our Lord three times. But then after Pentecost, Peter gets up in front of many, many people, thousands. He gives a teaching. And 3,000 people were converted in one preaching of St. Peter. I repeat, 3,000 people. 3,000 people were converted by this one homily of St. Peter, baptizing 3,000. How did that happen? It was because of the Pentecost experience. This Pentecost experience that the apostles experienced and Peter experienced. Now, my friend, you have the Holy Spirit. Through baptism, you became a temple of the Holy Spirit. When you're confirmed, the gifts of the Holy Spirit became more powerful in your life. So unless we've expelled the Holy Spirit through a mortal sin, We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the same Holy Spirit living within us. So let's beg the Holy Spirit today for this special grace, that we, through the presence of the Holy Spirit, will get to know and love Christ more and more. So what I'd like to do is, earlier this week in my formation classes with the adults, I gave this lecture, and I'd like to take a couple ideas from the lecture or the conference I gave to the parents, the First Communion parents, as well as the Confirmation parents. What it did was, I gave the parents a talk on biblical names for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Technically, you might call them Christological titles for Christ that I gleaned from the New Testament and some of them actually from the Old Testament. And I'll explain this by means of an analogy. Now, most of you, what I'm going to say about most of you, have these different relationships. You're a mother, you're a sister, you're a spouse, you are a Christian, you're a Catholic, you're an aunt, you're a friend, you're a lover of Jesus and Mary. And you're part of our Perseverance family. And you have a hunger for God. So I mentioned about 10 different qualities of you. And each of those qualities or attributes was a virtue, a good quality, that you all have in your lives. But each one of those qualities can be differentiated from another. They're all different qualities. Okay, let me try to apply this also to Christ. Here's an analogy I've used over time, and it's the idea that we learn in physics. It's called refraction. Refraction would be this. You take a crystal, better yet, you take a diamond, and you, say for example, you have a really big diamond, and you place that diamond exposing it to sunlight. When the sunlight beams through that big diamond, what you're going to see is the following. It's like a rainbow of different colors. It's like a rainbow of different colors that are emanating and cast maybe on the wall. And each one of those colors is beautiful. So by means of analogy, Christ is that diamond. Christ is that beautiful, precious, resplendent diamond. And the more that we look and contemplate the face of Christ, the more beautifully do we see those different rays that are emanating from that diamond itself. From the diamond itself. So let's go in the gospel different than King Herod. He just wanted to see Jesus due to curiosity. He wanted to get to know Christ through curiosity, maybe to see a miracle or two. Our purpose is not to get to know Christ through curiosity. We want to get to know him because we want to love him. We want to follow Him. We want to make Him known. We want to be His intimate friend. When we die, we want to be with Him forever in heaven. So our intention is very different than King Herod, this frivolous, curious, sensual man that ended up by killing John the Baptist. So our intention is hopefully the most noble, to really get to know Him, to love Him, and to follow Him, in the words of St. Ignatius. So, that being the case, what I'd like to do is I'd like to start to go through some of these Christological titles for Christ. And hopefully, all of us will be enriched by these different titles and utilize these titles in our prayer, our conversation with Christ, as well as with our conversation. Because, my friends, we don't want to be chismosos or gossipers. Why not try today to talk more about Christ? That can be an effort on our part. Try to talk more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who is Christ? Who is Christ for you? So that being the case, let's take the first title for Him. Let's take the title Jesus Christ. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, who wrote many books. One is The Eternal Galilean, and The Life of Christ. Two of those books are on Christ Himself, The Eternal Galilean and The Life of Christ. Venerable Fulton Sheen has pointed out that the most important title for Jesus Christ is Jesus Himself and what Jesus means. Jesus, what His name means. Now, for us to derive the interpretation of the meaning of Jesus and Christ, one of the key passages, would be Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, which is the first joyful mystery, the Annunciation, or you can even call it the Incarnation. The Annunciation or the Incarnation. In this verse, the Archangel Gabriel appears to Mary, hail full of grace. Says, you shall conceive in your womb, and you shall bear a son, and his name is Jesus. Then after that, because he will save the people of their sins. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen points out that that name Jesus and what it means from the words of the Archangel Gabriel expresses the primary purpose for which Jesus Christ came to the world. He came to the world to save us. He is the universal Savior. He came to save us, my friends, from all that is evil and to give us life, life in abundance. I've come that you have blood, may have life and life in abundance. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He came to save us from sadness. He's our joy. He came to save us from the reality of sin, the shackles of sin, the slavery of sin, the bonding force of sin. He came to save us from the shackles of the devil. He came to save us from the eternal fires of hell. He is our Lord, our God, and our Savior. Our Lord, our God, and our Savior. So we want to appreciate more and more the name of Jesus as Savior. Herod could care less about Jesus as Savior. He just wanted to see him because of curiosity. Passage today is interesting because curiosity, being frivolous, superficial, is not going to get us anywhere. We have to have purity of intention, a noble and upright heart. A noble and upright heart. A parallel passage that illustrates Christ as Savior, and I think we'll be able to identify with it, is the following. It's late at night. The apostles are in the boat. Jesus has spent the night in prayer. They're not getting anywhere in the boat because of the tempestuous, turbulent condition of the lake. And the Lord is walking on the water and they cry out, "It's a ghost! It's a ghost! It's a ghost!" Jesus says, "Get a hold of yourself, it is I." Peter says, "If it's you, Lord, tell me to come across the wet lake toward you." Jesus says, "Come." Peter is actually walking on the water. It's a great scene. Peter's actually walking on the water. But possibly aware of the wind that has enveloped him, a wave that's about to engulf him, Peter starts to sink. He starts to sink, and he cries out, here we have, related to what we're explaining today, "Lord, save me." Jesus means Savior. Peter says, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." It's a beautiful prayer that I say. You should say often from the depths of your heart. "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And what did Jesus do? With one hand, he says, "Man of little faith. Man of little faith. Man of little faith." With his other hand, he extends his hand and he grasps the hand. He grasps the hand of Peter. And once he grasps the hand of Peter, the waves become solid again. Peter's able to walk on the waves, hand in hand with Christ, to enter into the boat with the other apostles. Then the winds and the waves subside. They calm down. And the boat crosses over with speed and graceful ease to the shore. Now here's an interesting question for all of us related to this title of Jesus as Savior. Why was it? Here's the $100 question. Why was it that Simon Peter was able to first walk on the water? We can't deny the fact that he was actually walking on the surface of the water. But then he started to sink. And the response is this. Peter started to sink in the waves because at first when Christ said, come, he obeyed. He obeyed, then he was focusing his eyes and attention. He was focusing his eyes and attention on the face of Christ. Focusing his eyes and attention on the face of Christ. But he lifted up his gaze. And he paid more attention to the climate, to the wind, and the waves. And he started to sink. We can apply that to ourselves, my friends. We can apply that to ourselves. We are living in the midst of a storm. We're living in the midst of a tempest. We're living in the midst of turbulent political, social, religious times in which the ship is being battered by many different waves, almost to the point of capsizing. We really are. We're going through tough times. For that reason, God, Christ is asking us to get out of the boat and to walk on the water. But we have to focus our attention not on the external situation, nor the waves, the storm, the tempest, but rather we want to be focusing our attention on the face of Christ. Not to lift up our gaze like Peter because we're going to start to sink. Yesterday when we celebrated St. Matthew, we have the gospel where Jesus says, follow me. Matthew gets up and leaves everything to follow Christ. I think we have to read in between the lines. The words of Christ, follow me, arrived at the very depths of the soul of Peter. But I think also there was a penetrating gaze where Christ looked at Peter with great love. It were the words of Christ, but also the penetrating gaze of Christ. Christ looked into the eyes and the face of Peter. Follow me. Or rather, Matthew, follow me. And Matthew got up and he followed Christ. So hopefully this is going to be one of our prayers. One of our prayers is going to be calling upon the name of Jesus and saying, Lord, save me. We're all going through tough times. Like Peter, let's say, Lord, save me. I'm sinking. I feel like I'm in a Titanic and I've crashed against a huge iceberg. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Our Lord is very attentive to the supplications of his friends. Like Peter, he'll stretch out his hand to save you. Related to the name Jesus, we should have great respect for the name Jesus. Great respect. So much so that St. Paul says in his letter to the Philippians, at the name of Jesus, may every knee in heaven, on earth, and below the earth bow at the name of Jesus. In the past, we were taught by the nuns, we were taught by our good Catholic parents, thanks be to God, that when we heard the name Jesus, we should make a simple bow of the head. Jesus, our Savior. That we make a simple bow of the head every time that the name of Jesus Christ is used in conversation. What great reverence we should have for his holy name. And also, my friends, maybe you notice that when I'm celebrating the holy sacrifice of the Mass, every time that I celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the name of Jesus is mentioned very frequently, because the purpose of the Mass is to glorify God the Father by the offering of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, then I, as a priest, I bow my head. I bow my head. It's a simple bow. When I say the name Jesus, as well as Mary, as well as the saint of the day. The name of Jesus is very powerful. Very powerful. Maybe you remember in the Acts of the Apostles that Peter and John are going to the temple to pray at a certain hour. Outside the temple, there was a crippled beggar. And he looks intently at John and Peter, expecting to get some alms. And Peter looks intently in the eyes of this man. And we're going to see the power of Christ, the power of the name of Jesus. Peter says, look at us. He says, gold and silver I have not. Gold and silver I have not. But in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. So he takes the man by the hand, and the man has been a cripple, gets up, and he's walking. Not only is he walking, but he's walking, he's leaping, and he's praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. What a beautiful scene. He's walking and leaping and praising God. Hopefully that's going to be our lives. We're going to be walking and leaping and praising God in this life and in heaven for all eternity. Walking and leaping and praising God. And that all came about by Peter having no money, but he had something much more precious than money. Peter had the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. So let us, my friends, get to know Christ. And today we just focused on just one of the many Christological names for Christ. We started, my friends, with the most important. That is the name of Jesus Christ. So at the name of Jesus, may every knee in heaven, on earth, and below the earth bow to the ground. So my friends, during the course of the day, during the course of your life, like St. Peter, sinking in the waves, let us cry out with great confidence. Let us cry out with great confidence. Lord Jesus, save me. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.